Lean in. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 5. Luke wrote a lot about praying, the praying that Jesus did. In chapter 5, he wrote these words: He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. In chapter 6, I find these words: And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. In chapter 9, Dr. Luke writes these words: And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. Prayer. Protracted prayer, groaning prayer, fasting prayer, weeping prayer, speechless prayer belong to those initiated into a spirit of prayer. There is no power like that of prevailing prayer, such as Abraham pleading for Sodom, Jacob wrestling in the still of the night, Moses standing in the breach, Hannah intoxicated with sorrow, David's heartbroken remorse and grief, Jesus in sweat of blood. Add these to your experience, and there's always the cost of passion unto blood. Such prayers prevail. It turns ordinary people into people of power. It brings power. It brings fire. It brings rain. It brings life. It brings God. Someone has said, when God wanted to get a man, he had to get a woman first. This was certainly true of Hannah. Hannah, a sure picture of a mother in Israel. This is a person sold out to one thing. Here is a soul chastised by barrenness and chastened by the abundance of another. To Hannah, every cry of joy or pain from Peninnah's children must have been like a dagger. There must have been a wearing down in her situation. The scriptures tell us that it was year after year Hannah's adversary provoked her sore when she went up into the house of the Lord. Years Hannah waited. Years Hannah cried. Years Hannah suffered reproach. And years she was grieved. Sometimes we have this twisted idea about prayer. Too many of us, prayer is just a shortcut to receiving a desired thing. Yet, if the Lord tarries, we must wait for his answer. I realize we are living in a rush generation. Every day we have the morning rush hour, where people get up, rush out the door, rush down to the fast food place, get a rush cup of coffee and a rush sandwich. Then they rush off to work. And in the afternoon, there is the afternoon rush hour, where people rush from their place of employment, and then they rush home or rush somewhere else. It's rush, rush, rush. But friend, this generation, nor any other generation, can rush God. God is sovereign, has his own timetable. God has his own program. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. Hannah's prayer is classic because in it are revealed the true ingredients of intercessory prayer. In many churches, there are warriors in prayer, those that gather collectively to fight the good fight of faith. Others just pray. But true intercessors stand in the gap until the answer comes. Hannah shared a home, shared a husband, but could not share the children. She was barren. This was her shame. Note the increase in intensity in the order of events in Hannah's prayer vigil. Hannah prayed. Hannah continued praying. And finally, Hannah poured out her soul. Hannah wept. She wept sore because of her barren state. Hannah was grieved and bitter in her soul. She regarded her barren estate as an affliction. Finally, after fasting from food and drink, she made a vow. O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the afflictions of your handmaiden and remember me and not forget me, but will give unto your handmaiden a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. This all adds up, my friend, to a desperate woman, desperate to get a remedy for her barren life. This woman, Hannah, could have prayed just for a child. The answer to her prayer would have removed her reproach. But Hannah prays for higher stakes. Give unto your handmaiden, she prayed, a man-child. Hannah wanted a son. To her, it was the highest honor. A child would have removed her shame, but a man-child would bring her honor. But God wanted more than just a man-child. God wanted a prophet, a savior, a ruler for his people. God did for Anna far more exceedingly, abundantly above all that she could ask or think. In solving her problem, God solved his own. He granted her request for a man-child, but she gave him back to the Lord as she had promised. Thus, many years later, when God needed a man to stand in the gap for Israel, he had one right there in the prophet Samuel. I'd like to mention this. Hannah offered her own means as a channel through which God could bring her request. It was through Hannah herself that the Lord answered her prayer. God took of her flesh and substance to give her the petition that she had asked. This is my last lesson this week on prayer. Before I step away from the microphone, I want to remind you that our prayer lists are growing longer each day. There are times when I don't know how I ought to pray. It is during those times that I allow the Holy Spirit to intercede through me for you. Listen as Tina Sattler explains to you how I pray in these times.
I could see the pain in your eyes, despair upon your face. It really touched my heart when you asked me to pray. I took you to the Father, but couldn't find words to say. So I yielded to the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit prayed. He felt your grief and sorrow that I could not comprehend. He went before the Father and made him understand. And there, in that holy place, your need was relayed. I knew not how to help you, so the Holy